Amen. Let's open our Bibles in the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verse 1 to 18. John, chapter 4, verses 1 to 18. And I'm not stealing Mark's preaching from last weekend. It's the same passage. It's just I was struck about how deep this passage is that it filled my heart, and I want to share it to you today. John chapter 4, verses 1 to 18. And once we read, I ask you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to need to read it again throughout the sermon. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." So keep your Bibles open. This whole passage hangs on these two subjects, water and marriage. This is the apex, the climax, what makes this passage so spicy and so interesting. Water and marriage. And before we understand these two things, let me point out some things that we must understand in order that we dive into these scriptures. The first thing I need to point out to you, Jesus had to go through Samaria. Pastor Mark last weekend told us that there was other ways that he could have done that travel, but he chose to go through Samaria. Why? Because Jesus had an appointment, an encounter, something very important to do with that lady, the Samaritan woman. Jesus wanted to transform her life. This is the first point. The second point, the bucket that the woman was carrying, you know, the bucket, the jar, it was empty. Her life was empty, just as her bucket was empty. Her bucket was empty, just as her life was empty. That's a symbol, a metaphor, that her life was empty. And to be a greater contrast, Jesus had no bucket. What does that mean? Because he himself is the living water. He's never empty. But the lady with the bucket, that represents her life. Empty, empty, and empty. This is another important information that we need to keep in mind. A third information that I would like to point out to you, so we can understand this passage. And now it's coming closer to the great climax of the passage. The Samaritan woman came to the well at noon, at 12 p.m. I work during the summer. I do the landscaping where I work. And I never work at noon. I work the earliest I can. The latest I start at 8. Why? Because at 12, the sun, it's way too hard for me to work. So if this woman is going to the well at noon, that tells us something. Maybe she wasn't looking for water. Maybe she wasn't looking just for water. And let's read verse 16 to 18 so we can understand a little bit what was going on in this woman's mind. Verse 16. Jesus told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And let me just stop here. She was living with someone, but when she was asking, "Call your husband," she just said, no, "I have no husband." What she was saying, "I am free. I'm available. I have no commitments." Then Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have, it's not your husband. What you have just said, it's quite true." So this gives us a glimpse or an understanding of what this woman was looking for when she goes to the well at noon. She wasn't looking for water, or she wasn't looking only for water. She was looking for who are in town, who are the next visitor in town, what's going on in town. Because if she really wanted to go grab water, she would have gone at 8 a.m., at 7 a.m., the time that everybody goes to the well to get water because they are working. So it's very important to keep that in mind. And the last and final thing that we must keep in mind so we understand this, it's that Jesus asked a super unusual question. We just read, Jesus said, "Go call your husband." So the whole conversation, it was about water, 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 and water. And then out of the blue, randomly, Jesus asked her, "Go call your husband." He asked about marriage. He changed the subject from water, living water, to the subject of marriage. And if we don't understand the background or the full picture, we're going to miss why Jesus asked this question. So let me give you the background of this story. Because this story that we are reading, John chapter 4, happened also in Genesis and in the book of Exodus. And I'm sure you know. But before we go there, the Apostle Paul teaches us that marriage, it's a mystery. But he's not talking about the marriage of a woman and a wife. The Apostle Paul calls marriage a mystery. The marriage of Christ and his church. The church of Christ is called the bride of Christ. Christ is one with his church. And that's a mystery. Christ is bounded forever with his church, and that's a mystery. Paul says, a wedding, a marriage, an earthly one, it's beautiful. But the marriage that it's a mystery, it's true and indeed the relationship that Jesus has with his church. It's the greatest symbol that the Bible has to explain and to detail how deep, how beautiful, and how mysterious is the relationship between Jesus the Savior and his church. they call the figure of marriage. With that being understood, we start to understand why Jesus asked this question to this lady, call your husband. Why did Jesus start to ask her, let's talk about another subject other than living water. Let's talk about marriage. Let me show you in the Bible this scene happening three times, and the only three times that this scene has happened in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. A man named Abraham. He was worried about his son who was 40 years old and yet had no wife. So he calls his servant Eliezer and he says, go to my forefathers and find a wife to my son. So Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, he goes to a long journey. He stops by the well. When he stopped by the well, a woman came to him. Her name, Rebecca. Rebecca came to him. And next thing that happens, Isaac gets married to Rebecca. First story. Second story, Jacob. Jacob is fleeing from his brother Esau. And he goes on a long journey. And he finds a well and he stops by the well. A woman comes to him, Rachel. What's the next thing that happened? He marries Rachel. And there is a third time that this story happens again in scriptures. Moses, in Exodus. He killed the Egyptian, and now he's fleeing Egypt. And he goes on a long journey to Midian. And he finds a well. And a woman comes to meet him in the well. Zipporah. What's the next thing that happened? Marriage. Now I'm going to read this story again very quick to you. Jesus goes to a long journey from Judea to Galilee. He stops at the well. A woman comes to him. What must happen? Not the marriage we think of, but the marriage the Apostle Paul was speaking about. The mystery. Christ and his church united forever. Christ saving his church forever. Christ taking the woman that was dead in her spirit and making her born again. Christ calling this woman who had five husbands to come into an eternal relationship with him, calling her his church. So now it makes sense why did Jesus ask about marriage. Now it makes sense. Why? Because Jesus, knowing scriptures that he knows the story. The next thing that must happen in this chapter, this woman must have her life changed forever. And the only way I can change her life is to bring her spiritually forever bounded with me. And how does Jesus do that? The same way he does to me and to you and to anyone. The first takeaway I need us to understand how Jesus do that. The first takeaway is that the water from the well cannot fulfill our lives. Water from the well with our empty buckets will never satisfy our lives. Let's read verse 13 to 15. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Career, money, success, degrees, diplomas, achievements, these are the wells we have in life. We go to the well of career and we think we're going to be satisfied. We think we're going to be fulfilled. We go to the well of achievements. I achieved this, I achieved that. And we go to those well and we never get satisfied. There are some wells that are super legit, super amazing. They're actually a blessing from the Lord. The well of family, the well of children, the well of a career, the well of ministry, the well of serving the church. But those things are still wells. They will never fulfill the thirsty we have. For this woman, her well was ugly. Her well was her sinful life. She had come to the well 6 times in her life. First marriage, she went to the well to try to satisfy her thirsty, to try to be fulfilled. It didn't happen. Then she goes to the second well. Second marriage, didn't fulfill. And then she goes to the third well, to the fourth well, to the fifth well. And then she changes the well, or better, she changes the bucket. And she says, you know what? Maybe the problem is that I'm getting married to these people. Maybe I'm going to do just as like we see today. I just go and move in together. I just want the good things. If things get worse, I just leave. I want only the good. I don't want the commitment. And so she goes to her sixth well. She just go and cohabitate and leave and move in with this man that she's not brave enough to call him her husband. And she is coming to the well a seventh time. Not looking for water. Just looking for another visitor. Just looking for another adventure. Just looking for another man. And just as it happened to her, I believe may have happened to you, and it happened to me. When I was a kid, I went to the well of football, soccer. I thought because I was a super talented kid, that everybody liked to watch me playing, that I would score a lot of goals. I thought that that was the well of my life. If I become a professional soccer player, if I win titles, if I become famous, that's the well, that's going to be the fulfillment of my life. And I went to that well. But that well surely didn't satisfy the thirst of my soul. Then I went to another well. Okay, so maybe as a soccer player, I can start to do something very nice. I can be someone who speaks about subjects that are important. I can bring and use whatever I can have to start a not-for-profit. I can do something very, very meaningful with the talent I have. Another well that I thought could fulfill my life, but it never did. And then when I became a teenager, I thought the well of the world would satisfy me. Going to the parties, meeting girls would satisfy me. And then I go to one party at the well and never get satisfied. And I go to the next and never get satisfied. And I go to the next and never get satisfied. Always finishing my days, my evenings, and the mornings in the other day with an empty bucket. Just as empty it was my life. If you have been to the well, you know that the well doesn't satisfy you. And if you are looking right now in people, in season, in things, in the government, in entertainment, in whatever it is, if you are looking for these things to get your soul fulfilled, you are just looking at the well. and you will never get satisfied. But thanks be to God that you don't need to go to the well. You can forget about the well and look at the man that it's in front of you. Because the man in front of you, Jesus, is the living water. The woman, when she stopped looking at the well and she stares at Jesus, she found the living water. So the first takeaway, water from the well will never satisfy us. But here is the second takeaway, that Jesus is the living water that really fulfills our soul. Let's read verse 25 to 30. Opening your Bibles. Verse 25. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, and I'm going to emphasize this. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Jesus revealed himself as the Christ, as the Messiah to this lady. And there she understood that he was the living water. There her thirsty was gone. There the well was gone. There she leaves her bucket. See that Jesus said plainly, clearly, straightforward. She said, I know Messiah is coming. I know the Christ is coming. And Jesus said to her, I am him. This is in the Gospel of John chapter 4. But let me remind you, Jesus never said that to anyone so clearly. Remember when Jesus was with the disciples, he asked, what do the people say I am? And the people said, they say you are a prophet. And then Jesus asked to his disciples, what do you say I am? And their disciple had to give the answer, you are the Christ. And the Pharisees, they were always asking for a sign. Give me a sign that you are the Messiah. Give me a sign that you are Christ. And Jesus told them, no sign will be given to this generation. You guys asking for a sign, I'll give no sign. But to this woman, Jesus didn't ask questions. Jesus didn't ask her to find out who she was. Jesus didn't perform a sign. Jesus straightforward tell her, I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I'm the one in front of you speaking to you. And verse 28, just as I told you, when she realized that the living water was with her, in front of her, that the well was not necessary anymore, she just leaving her water jar, she went back to the city. In the beginning of the text, we understood that she was coming to get water to bring to the city. But once that she found Jesus, she just left everything. Why? Because in the well, you go and you get the water. But with Jesus, the living water, it's a completely other story. Jesus is just like the ocean. And it's not you who go and grab the water from him. He comes to you. He comes to you. And I can ask you, if the water of the ocean comes to the bucket of our lives, it's never going to contain. Our bucket, our life, will never going to be able to contain, to host, to hoard the living water the ocean of water that Jesus is. So when Jesus came to this woman's life, he overflowed her. He floods her. And how do I know that? Because the first thing she does, she goes to her town and she starts to talk about Jesus. The Bible is very clear. Your mouth speaks what your heart is plenty. So when you have a meeting, when you have an encounter with the living water, it's going to overflow. And if it's not overflowing, maybe it's because we're still very far from the living water. Because when the living water comes to our lives, we overflow. And in this point, I need to ask not you, but to myself these questions. Am I overflowing Jesus? Am I speaking about him everywhere I go, just as this woman did? Is Jesus and his word, is my prayer life a lot or a little? Is he what I'm, the one I'm thinking of? Am I overflowing? Was I flooded? Was I transformed? Was I changed? Is my sin gone and his holiness came just like an ocean to the bucket and emptiness of my life to the point that it was so overwhelming, but not the bad overwhelming, the good overwhelming? That's a question that I always like to ask myself. Did the man who look at that woman and overflows her life, the living water, is he overflowing my life? Or am I treating him just as a well in the bucket? I come and I get him on a Sunday, or I come and get him in the morning, just like a bucket, just a little. And I'm always thirsting, thirsting, thirsting. Or is he the one who overflows my life, who changed my life, who is the subject and the object of all my attention, of all my feelings, of all my plans, and all my delight? And I don't want you to miss this picture, because this picture, we lose it in the text. But let me give you this picture. Can you imagine a woman who had had five husbands and was living illegitimately with someone else, that she goes to her town and she says these words? Imagine how fun is this. I found a man. Or I found the man. What do you think the people thought? Like, seriously? Another one? Another one. And she, as the missionary that Jesus made her into, she preached the gospel to them. She says, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about flesh. I'm not talking about this kind of marriage. I'm talking about the man who has saved my life. The man who has made me born again. The man who has valued me to call me to oneness eternally with him. To call me his church eternally with him. To save my life from my past sins and my actual sin to a new life. I found the Christ. I didn't find a husband. I found the living water, the Christ. And so these people who heard, I found a man, understood that she wasn't talking about that. She was talking about something serious, spiritually, and deep. And then they go and they hear about Jesus and they all get to know the living water, and that thou is saved by the testimony of a lady that Jesus transformed her life. I want to conclude this sermon because these are the only two takeaways that the text gives us. One, Water from the well will never satisfy until the living water satisfied and must overflow your life. That's the two takeaways of this text. But let me conclude like this. This woman was looking not for water. She was looking just for another adventure. Just for another visitor. Just for another man. Just for another temporarily fulfillment. Instead, that was the kind of meeting, that was the kind of appointment she had on that day. I go for a short pleasure. I go to find anyone or anything. On the other hand, Jesus had an encounter with her. Jesus had an encounter with her, not with anyone, but with her. Jesus had an encounter that it wasn't temporarily. It was eternal. She came to the well with evil and bad desires. Jesus came to the well with good intentions. Intentions to give her life. She came to the well thinking about earth. Jesus came to the well thinking about eternity. She came to the well just for another pleasure. And Jesus came to the well to give her life and true meaning. That's the difference of approach to the same well of this lady and Jesus our Lord. Jesus is still doing those things today. That's the good news of this text. You're going to see many people in the wells of lives. Some wells, as I said, they are just ugly. They are sinful. They are death. They are disobedience. But some wells of life, they are legit. They are good things. But they are still wells. And Jesus is still the one that, as he just did to this Samaritan lady, he met her in the well and gave her living water, and bounded her forever with him, and called her into a covenant forever with him. Jesus is doing this every single day. And that's the good news of this text. Amen. Let's pray. And Deborah, Ezra, you can come. Thank you, Jesus, for the way you approach us. Always knowing what you're going to do. Always with love and so much good intentions. Thank you, Lord, because when we think about earth, you think about heaven. When you think about just a sip of water, you think about an ocean that fulfills and overflows our lives. Thank you, Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Jesus, the living water. Open our eyes, Lord, in order that the wells of life does not distract us. May we seek and pursue only the living water. And also, Jesus, help us to see what you are doing today in our neighbors, in our community. May we also meet people in the well and offer them the living water that only you are. In Jesus' name, amen.